With the Lord's help, I'd like to read out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. Starting at verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I've read to the end of the chapter. May God bless the reading of his word. The word we have before us this afternoon, the majority of which we've read, is a story that Jesus tells. And I don't think it's a parable. I don't think it's an instance where he says, the kingdom of heaven is like. He tells this as a story. And Jesus, in his infinite wisdom, as the Son of God, had an experience, a knowledge, an insight beyond any of us. And he could tell this story as one who knew the complete reality and was revealing the complete reality of life here below and what happens after this life is ended. With the Lord's help, I'd like to meditate on that a little bit this afternoon hour. The reality of hell, an unpleasant topic, something we don't like to think about, something I dare say is sometimes, for those of us that are Christians, a bit of a mental blind spot we don't think much about. Once we're saved, once we're part of his kingdom, we don't think much about the reality of hell. I would not presume to stand in the place of judgment and determine or predict anyone's eternal destiny in this room, but I dare say at this moment there are some of you sitting here who are headed for hell. It would be negligent of anyone who stands here and professes to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to skip over this topic or to treat it lightly. You know, Jesus spoke the most of anyone in the Bible about the topic and the subject of hell. And he spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. This is a very relevant topic for my friend outside of Christ. As the Zion's Heart 52 says, haste to save thy soul forever. Flee from hell. Be thy endeavor to walk the narrow way. And for my brother and sister, this is not a topic you can just ignore and put behind you if you profess to be a follower of Jesus Christ. If you really love and care for those that are around you that you rub shoulders with every day and that you know don't believe in Jesus Christ, this is not something you should just put in the back of your closet, so to speak. If we think about this for a little bit, I think some very weighty questions arise. Questions that I think come from the natural man. Questions like, why would eternal punishment be the consequence of finite deeds, things we've done just in a short lifespan? Why is hell forever? Why is there an eternity of suffering? The natural man would say that doesn't seem fair. And even those that have lived maybe a short life and yet not lived according to God's rule, the word is clear where their destiny is. Another question that may arise: why would God create a world in which hell was a possibility? If he's the all-powerful, sovereign God, why would he do this? The word answers these questions. If we're patient, you know, I'm reminded of my children. They often ask why questions. And as good parents, we need to discern when those why questions are stalling. They don't want to obey, so they're asking why, and when they genuinely need to know. And God knows with us too. And my soul, outside of Christ, those questions you may have about this doctrine, this teaching, about the reality of hell, they can be answered, but God will not answer the spirit who is throwing up those questions as a means to stall and say, why? Why would God do this? Why would God cause good, quote-unquote, people to go to hell? My next-door neighbor doesn't seem to have done anything really bad, and he's going to hell? The Word has answers, but we first need to get to a place of being willing to accept what God says. Whatever he says and however he says it, we will accept it. We'll accept that truth because he's not beholden to us to give us the whole picture. Jesus talked more about hell than anyone else, and the reason is that he also revealed salvation. If you look in the Old Testament and you study the topic a bit, you'll realize it's shrouded in mystery in the Old Testament. It's not completely clear what happens after death. There is hints. Job says, the worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh will I see God. There's hints, there's indications. But Jesus, being the Son of God, when he came to earth to proclaim salvation, also proclaimed and made clear the consequence of rejecting that salvation. And that is, in God's wisdom, how he has determined and how he has laid out this wonderful plan of salvation. And so, it is only with Jesus that we clearly now understand some of these things about the reality of hell and of heaven, and that the difference between the two is him. It's in him. Whether we accept him, believe him, or reject him, that is the difference between the two. So, as we said, the Word of God has some answers, some facts about hell. And the first one is that there are only two destinations for mankind. There are only two. There's no third option. After death, there is judgment, as Hebrews 9 says. And Jesus, in another place, talks about this in Matthew 25. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, everyone. Everyone will come to judgment, everyone who has ever walked this earth. And he shall separate them one from another into two groups, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, sheep and goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. And we know the rest of the passage. And likewise the consequence for those that reject. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And this is also another indication of an answer to that question of why would God create a world where there was hell? And that was hinted at this morning hour too, or spoken to this morning hour too. In a world where we have free will, that God has created free will, this is the necessary consequence. You know, hell, ultimately, its definition is the absence of God, in the sense of the being away from his presence. It is the consequence of a life that rejects him and doesn't want to be with him. Hell is just God giving people over to what they want, the consequence of their free will. He prepared hell for the devil and his angels. He didn't prepare it for mankind. He didn't. His intention, his purpose isn't to damn anyone. He doesn't want to do that. But in his purpose, in his will of giving you a choice, that is the consequence of rejecting him. So there are two places for mankind, and there is a judgment between the two, and it's eternal. That in itself, we don't understand that. We don't understand that concept, that concept of eternity. Everything happens to us in time. We experience things in sequence, and they happen in time, and time passes by. But when that ends, when our lives end, time is no more. Hell must be eternal because of that. There is no second chance. No. Well, now I understand really the way things are and I can choose to love God. No. The decision and the consequence of what you have in your hands now, my friend, outside of Christ, your life, the decisions you make, this is the consequence. This is the road that will direct you one direction or another. It's eternal, and it is a place of suffering. And I think the way that Jesus describes this, he describes it in a way that we can understand, but I think it's beyond our comprehension. He speaks of fire here, about a torment of flame. In other places, he speaks about a worm that does not die, about weeping and gnashing of teeth. I think this is language that in some sense is figurative. We can't understand this, except it being the complete absence and isolation from God, being left on our own in torment. It's eternal. It's a place of suffering. But the purpose of this story, Christ wasn't just giving us facts about hell. The reason that he could state these things so clearly was because he was offering now the answer and the solution. And he used an illustration here, something that I think is a real happening, a real occurrence of a certain rich man and this beggar named Lazarus. You have to ask yourself, and I think anyone who hears the story, anyone who is listening to the story carefully, had to ask themselves, why did this rich man end up where he did? What did he do wrong? He liked to eat well. He liked to wear nice clothes. Was that so wrong? Well, Christ makes it very clear here in this story that there was a certain beggar named Lazarus laid outside his gate. He passed by every day. In the story here, he knows who this man is. In hell, he sees Lazarus. He knows who he is. He calls him by name. I think during his life, he probably knew who this man was too, and he walked by him every day. See, that's, just as it was said this morning, the difference between heaven and hell is not a one-time decision and acceptance. It's a course of life that is based on faith in Jesus Christ. And this man, he never really loved God. That's really the point of this story, is that here's a man who did not love God. If you read those previous verses that we read here, no man, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. This man hated God. And you think, well, that's extreme. He was a good Jew, probably. He said, Father Abraham. I'm sure he probably went to the synagogue every Sabbath. I'm sure he knew what was written in the Bible. And yet, he hated God. He served mammon. My friend, outside of Jesus Christ, hell is the consequence of making your life about yourself. That's really what it comes down to. It's the consequence of you making decisions that are just about you. That ultimately, you may do things that look good, you may do things that impress other people, what is highly esteemed among men, but God sees the heart. He says, God knows your heart. And even things that you do that may look good, if they are not from the heart that loves Jesus Christ, that loves God, they're an abomination to him. And hell will be the consequence of that. And that's what happened with this rich man. He liked the good life. He didn't really love God. And as a consequence, he was able to walk past this poor beggar that was lying at his gate. How many of us, knowing this story, having a choice, am I going to be the rich man or am I going to be Lazarus? How many of us would really choose to be Lazarus, to have the life of pain and suffering and just the details he adds here are distressing. The dog's licking his sores. He puts that in there for a reason, to give you a sense, a taste of how miserable this man's life was. How many of us, given that choice between the good life, faring sumptuously every day, and lying at a gate of someone else, which one would we choose if we knew on the other side the destination, that this poor Lazarus would be in Abraham's bosom? Everything would be at rest and peace, and this rich man would be tormented. How many of us would make the decision between thy good things and God's goodness? That's really what it comes down to. That's the decision, that's the choice between heaven and hell that's given to each of us every day. Do I want my good things? As Abraham says to this rich man's son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things, or do I want God's good things, the things that are of his kingdom? Because that's what Jesus talked about, and that's what he spoke and taught about, was the kingdom of heaven. and that it starts here and now and it leads into an eternity with God. And that is how we know our destination. That's how we have assurance, by believing in Him, by entering into that kingdom now, so that one day when we have to cross the river of death, it is into His presence forevermore. But the one who is not interested in the things of the kingdom, the things that advance His kingdom, truth, righteousness, goodness, mercy, grace, the people that are not interested in that, they won't have a part of that in eternity. The last part of this parable is so interesting and bears, it's not a parable, I'm sorry, I misspoke. The last part of the story that Jesus shared is so interesting and instructive, where there's this exchange between Abraham and this rich man in hell. It's interesting now that he has some concern for other people for the first time. He's thinking about his five brothers, and he knows that they're headed for the destination and the location that he is at. And he says, "Please send Lazarus back to them. I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." And Abraham's response is so interesting, and it's so instructive, and it speaks to this moment right now, us sitting here in these benches. Abraham says, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." Do you realize that, my friend, outside of Christ? You don't need some special personal dramatic experience. What you need is to hear this word that you are hearing right now and to believe it. Faith comes by hearing. Believe the difference that there is a heaven and a hell, and that that choice is in Jesus Christ, in embracing Him. That is the means of repentance. He knew, this rich man knew that his brothers had to repent. And Abraham says, let them read the word of God that's been given to them. We've been given so much more. You have the whole plan of salvation now laid out to you. You have that means. The door is open this day for you to choose between life and death. Don't let Satan deceive you into thinking there is something more that you need to experience. Something more that God needs to, some dramatic thing He needs to do. Simply believe this word and start walking with Jesus Christ. Do what He asks you to do. Give up what He asks you to give up. Because the reality of hell is real. It is something that all of us one day, those of us that are outside of Christ, will experience and know and will think back to moments like this. Because one thing that Jesus also says, there is a variety, there is a range of punishment in hell. That those who knew and did not will be beaten with many stripes. The towns of Bethsaida and Chorazin and the others that had those great works done in them, they would have more condemnation than Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment. So knowing what you know now about the reality of heaven and hell, that will be greater condemnation if you don't act, if you don't obey, if you don't do what He's asking you to do today. Simple obedience and faith. And He said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead." It does come down to the issue of your heart, whether you really want to believe or not. I think that's, faith is ultimately a moral choice. If you want to, if you humble yourself, if you cry out in your need and in your desperation, God will hear. He said, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, just a little bit, God will do. He will work with that. But if you get distracted and long for and desire the things of this life and hold on to them, likewise, you will That seed that's sown will be taken from you. My brother and my sister, this topic of hell, this teaching of Jesus Christ, is, I dare say, something we need to think about a little bit more and not to be so complacent about. It is a reality. It's something that we need to tell others about. It's not a light thing. It's not something easy. I don't think the approach of fire and brimstone, quote unquote, often works. But people in their need and in their in those moments of life, those moments of visitation, they need to be told of this reality, and at the same time, coupled with the way of escape, Jesus Christ, the plan of salvation. We need to live that way. May He give us the grace to be motivated to save, to snatch souls from the flames, as Jude says. May God in His wisdom, His love, that He knows each one of you. Outside of Christ, He knows you just what you need exactly. May He multiply this poorly spoken and delivered message in a way that will be effective to you, that will reach and touch your hearts and make you realize that your life is passing quickly and eternity is coming very fast. Heaven and hell are in the balance at this moment, my friend, outside of Christ. May you realize that and respond to this gospel while the door of grace is open.
Brothers and sisters and friends, this afternoon we've been reminded of a true reality that no matter what one is in this life, whether one is rich, like the man that we read about, whether he is poor, whether someone is popular, whether someone has all the intelligence and all the degrees and abbreviations behind their name with all the degrees, that there is one truth, that at the end of life there is judgment. Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." There will be a resurrection of the just and a resurrection of the unjust, and there will be judgment. And no one will be able to pass by that. And we heard this afternoon about the judgment of those who decide not to seek out the Lord. And as we read and as we thought and as we saw and read some of the description of the pain and the torment and how the rich man had that flame as if it was a flame in his tongue, and he asked for Lazarus to come to get a drop of water to cool it, and to think of what the pain and the torment would be like, I many times think that for those who will be in that place, the greatest torment, the greatest punishment, that worm which will die not and quench not, will be the fact to those who sat in the pews like this afternoon, heard of the message, had the opportunity to talk to parents, had the opportunity to talk to the dear ministering brothers, had the opportunity to make right, but they would not. Jesus said and spoke about the Jews, "How oft would have I have covered you under my wings as a hen does with her chicks, but you would not." The Lord wants to provide that mercy to you. Salvation is offered. The Word is right in front of you. You have the opportunity to seek Him. You have the opportunity to find that truth. May God give you the grace and the strength and the courage to make those steps so that you would not put it off, that you would not leave an assembly like this or a place like this and rather spend the time hanging out with your friends or spend the time doing something else that might give you temporary satisfaction when for the rest of eternity one would regret that they had the chance and did not heed the offer. May God bless His word to our hearts and realize that Jesus Christ is calling that whosoever will to come to the water of life freely.